Okay, we're started.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Nice to see you again. We're back for another Daf at Masechet Yevamos. The Masechet is sponsored by David and Paula Belzer and Olamo Construction.
Okay, we're doing Daf Yud Aleph in Yevamos. And we're picking up on a discussion that started on Yud Amud Beis, where we had a machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about a pretty fundamental issue. The question is the following. You have a few brothers, and one of them dies without children, our classical case of Yibum, and he leaves a surviving wife, and one of the brothers does chalitza to the Yevama, to the woman, to the surviving wife. And at that point, that breaks off the Zika. He should no longer have any relationship with her. And in fact, the Torah says, Asher lo yivne el beis achiv, in describing this breakup of the Zika, it says that they've broken up because he does not want to continue his brother's legacy. And the drasha on that, the Gemara makes a drasha on that, Asher lo yivne es beis achiv, kevan shelo bana shuv lo yivne. That since he's made a determination not to carry on his brother's legacy, and in fact to perform chalitza, he's cut himself off. He's decided that he's not going to have a relationship with this woman. And in fact, that creates a prohibition, an isser asay, so to speak, a prohibition on his going forward and marrying that woman. So once a person is done chalitza with a woman, he can't then go ahead and remarry her, or he shouldn't go ahead and then remarry her. And the question we had is, what about the other brothers? Are the other brothers in the same boat as him, so that they also shouldn't remarry, or shouldn't marry that surviving wife? Or do they have an even stronger status with respect to that surviving wife, in that it's still defined by the Isser Eshes Ach that originally characterized their relationship? Remember, before any chalitza or any yibum took place, when one of the brothers was married to a woman and there were other brothers around, those other brothers were ervas, were arayos to the wife, whether the guy was still alive or when he died. When he died, however, that Isser Erva was supplanted by a mitzvah of Yibum that could have been extinguished through Chalitza. And so the question now is, once one of the brothers steps up to the plate and does Chalitza, we know that his status is downgraded to an Isser Lav, to a Lav. He's Asher Lobana Shuv Lo Yivna, right? Kevan Shlobana Shuv Lo Yivna. He should not remarry that woman to which he did Chalitza. But what about all the other brothers? And this was a machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan in the middle of Yud Amud Beis, where Reish Lakish said, Hu ein chayav al chalutza kares, va'achin chayav in al chalutza kares. That he is no longer has a chi of kares to that woman because he did chalitza, and so now he's downgraded to the lav, asher lo bana shuv lo yivne. But the other brothers remain in their original status, and to them, this woman is an iser kares, is a bona fide erva. That was Reish Lakish's position. And Rabbi Yochanan took a different position. He said, no, all the brothers are in the same boat together. He said, it's impossible to imagine that you started off with a scenario where all the brothers had a certain relationship to this woman, where they were all arayos to her, and now all of a sudden one of the brothers dies, so there is an opportunity for Yibum or Chalitza. One of the brothers steps up to the plate, and now all the other brothers are left in their original status. Rather, says Rabbi Yochanan, Bein hu, bein ha'achin, einan chayavin lo ha'chalutza kares v'lo ha'atzara kares, that they all share the same status. In fact, he characterizes this as one of the brothers having acted at the behest, or on behalf of, as the shliach for the other brothers. Ihu shlichusa da'achim kavid. He went as kind of, he was the guy who went out there and did the chalitza, but he placed them all in the same category. And that once that chalitza takes place, according to Rabbi Yochanan, they all get downgraded to the Isser Lav. And if one of them should then marry that surviving wife after the Chalitza took place by one of the brothers, they all have that same status. That's just a Lav. It's not an Isser Karis. And in fact, the main difference is that the Kiddushin is going to be Chal. They will be considered to have been to marry her. So that's the fundamental Machlokas we're dealing with. And the Gemara now is going to try to figure out, or has already started to try to figure out, who's right by bringing various brisos that seem to indicate one way or another in the direction of Rav Yochanan or Reish Lakish. Again, the issue being, when one brother goes out and does chalitza with the others, is his status vis-a-vis that woman downgraded so that if he were to then try to remarry her, it would work and it would only be a lav? But the other brothers remain enmeshed in their Isser Kares? Or does he act on behalf of all the brothers, thus transforming all their collective status vis-a-vis that woman to a lav? All right, was that clear as an introduction? That's the introduction. So the Gemara then goes on to say at the very, I don't know, the last 10 lines of Yud Amud Beis, it brings a brisa that seems to internally inconsistent. There's a resh of the brisa that indicates like Rabbi Yochanan, and then a seif of the brisa that indicates like Reish Lakish. And what the Gemara now in Yud Aleph is going to do is it's going to answer according to both of them by fitting them into specific ukimtas. And just to review, the brisa said, "Hacholeitz levinta." Where one say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We're 10 lines from the bottom on Yud Amud Beis. Esvei Rav Yochanan or Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, "What are you going to do about this brisa?" The brisa says, "Hacholeitz levinta." Someone who does chalitza, v'chazar v'kidsha, and then he improperly goes and marries her, right? Kevon shelo bana shuvlo yivna. He's not supposed to marry her, but let's say he does go marry her. So for him, that's just an iser lav, and the kiddushin are tofsin, the kiddushin are chal. It's as if they're actually married. And now he mace. Now he dies. Tzricha chalitza min ha'achim, right? Tzricha chalitza min ha'achim. She requires chalitza from the other brothers. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan is correct, and they're all in the same category, all the brothers, and they're all only have a lav to her, so then it makes sense why she should require chalitza from the achim, because these are now surviving brothers of a bona fide marriage. They can't do yibam because they're still barred by that lav, but they still have a chiyuv of chalitza, right? According to Reish Lakish, that wouldn't be true, because they are Isser Kares. That's the resha of the brisa. The seif of the brisa is a few lines down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom, where it says, Amad echad min ha'achim v'kidsha ein lo alav klum. In this, what appears to be the same scenario, where one of the brothers now gets up and marries her, it's as if nothing happened, that Kiddushin is not Tovzin. That sounds like they all reverted back to the Isser Kares. Like Reish Lakish. So we have two parts of the same brisa that seem to indicate one like Rav Yochanan and one like Reish Lakish. How do we reconcile this? And that brings us to Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. And so we're going to have two approaches. Rav Ashi savor lo k'Reish Lakish. So Rav Ashi is going to side like Reish Lakish. Again, Reish Lakish is the one who says that it's only the one individual brother who did the chalitza that gets downgraded to the lav, but every other brother stays in the original status of kares. So Rav Ashi savor lo k'Reish Lakish umitarets, and he's going to explain the resha, the first part of the brisa, which made it sound like she requires chalitza from the other brothers, which cuts against Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish said that they are an Isser Erva, they're an Isser Kares. Why would you have her do chalitza? Why would you have one of the brothers do chalitza if, in fact, their relationship is characterized by Kares? Umetaretz l'k'Rav Shimon, we'll see that in a moment, the Gemara will flesh it out. Ravina Savarla Rav Yochanan. And Ravina, another Amora, he wants to approach this like Rav Yochanan. He says, I really hold like Rav Yochanan. And in fact, everyone's in the same boat. Once one of the brothers does Chalitza, all the statuses of all the brothers gets downgraded to the Lav. There's no Kares floating around anymore. So then he has a problem in the Seifa, because the Seifa said that once one of the brothers did Chalitza, all the other brothers are in La'alav Klum. It's as if there's no Kiddushin at all, as if to say that there's an Isser Kares that characterizes their relationship. So how does Ravina deal with that? If he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, Umetaritz Karabanan, he's going to explain that with the Rabbanan. We're going to flesh it out now. So now the Gemara is explaining. He's going to explain. Ravashi Savarla Karesh Lakish. Ravashi holds fundamentally that the Halacha is like Resh Lakish, that the Isser Kares that originally characterized the relationship between all the brothers and the surviving wife remains intact. They're all Isser Erva to her. Umetaritz Laka Rabbi Shimon. And he explained the first Braisa, which said that they should still do Chalitza, he explained it like Rabbi Shimon. As if to say the following, Hacholeitz Liavimto, someone who does Chalitza for a Yabam, Vichazar Vikidsha, and now he remarries her. He shouldn't have done that. So Tzricha Chalitza, and then what? And then he dies. Tzricha Chalitza Min Ha'achin. She requires Chalitza Min Ha'achin. How does that work according to Reish Lakish, who said that they all have an Isser Kares to her? We know that when there's an Isser Kares, there's no Chalitza, no Yibam at all. So he explains, no, Man Achin, Achin Hayilodin. He's referring to brothers who were born after the Kiddushin, after this was all cleaned up by that second, by that Yibam, by that Chalitza rather, and by the subsequent marriage, Keman K'Rab Shimon. And he holds like Rav Shimon. If you remember, Rav Shimon held with respect to the prohibition of Achiv, Eishes Achiv Shalahayu Ba'olamo. Remember, the relationship between a subsequently born brother and the surviving wife, when that subsequently born brother wasn't born yet at the time of the death of the first brother. So, according to Reish Lakish, if he was born after the whole thing was already cleaned up, after there was a Yibum, so he is not considered an Eishes Achiv Shalahayu Ba'olamo, and he can, in fact, marry her. And so that's the specific Ukimta, that specific case here that this Braisa is addressing. It's true, says Ravashi, it's sort of true that Reish Lakish is correct in that the relationship between the other brothers and this surviving wife is characterized by kares. It's true that it's characterized by kares. But this is the specific instance where the achiv, where Eishes Achiv Shalahayu Ba'olamo was born after the situation was cleaned up, and Rav Shimon holds that in that situation he's not tainted by the original Zika and by the original Eishes Achiv Shalahayu Ba'olamo, and that's why he can marry her, and that's why it says here Tzricha Chalitza Min Ha'achin. It's referring to those Achim that were born after the whole thing was cleaned up. As opposed to the situation where one of them who had been born already, now it's explaining the Seifa. The Seifa now says the normal case, the more typical case, where one of the brothers who was already born at the time of the death of the first brother, and now he marries, the other brothers are considered Eishes Ach Shehayu Ba'olamo, right? They are considered Erva in the fullest respect. There's an Isser Kares that pertains to them, and that's consistent with the Shita of Reish Lakish, that they're all in that same original situation. They all have an Isser Erva, and therefore the Kiddushin is not Tovs, and there's no Chiyuv Kares. I'm sorry, there's no Chiyuv Chalitza or Yibam. Good. So that's going to explain Ravina. I'm sorry, that's going to explain Rav Ashi. That's Rav Ashi's Shita. Hold on, let me just let someone in. Okay, that's going to explain Rav Ashi's Shita. Ravina is going to take a different tact. Ravina Savarla Karabi Yochanan. Ravina Savarla Karabi Yochanan. So in the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Ravina is going to side with Rav Yochanan. Again, to review, there's a machlokas Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Once one of the brothers performs chalitza with the surviving wife, what's the status of the other surviving brothers vis-a-vis that surviving wife? Do they go back to the Isser Kares that characterized their relationship when the brother was still alive? Or is the one brother who performed the chalitza on their behalf considered their shliach, and then they all join the same status of that brother, which is to say that once he's performed chalitza, his prohibition on remarrying the woman for whom he performed chalitza is downgraded to a lav, to a simple prohibition of kevan shelobana shuv lo yivne, in which case, if one of them were to marry the surviving wife after all this happened, the kiddushin would be tofsin, it would be a valid marriage, and all that would follow. So Ravina here is siding with Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says they're all in the same boat together. Once one brother performed chalitza, he's doing it on behalf of the other brothers. All of their status, respectively, is downgraded. There's no more Isser Kares, there's no more Arayos in the mix here, and they all are simply defined by a lav of Kevan Shalabana Shuv Lo Yivne. And so Ravina holds like Rav Yochanan. Aye, what's he going to do? What's he going to do with the Seifa? What's he going to do with the Seifa of the Braisa, which said that if one of the brothers marries the surviving wife, ain la alav klum, it's as if the marriage never took place, the kiddushin is not tofsin, why should that be according to Rav Yochanan, who said it was only an iser lav? Right? We only say that the marriage is not considered to have taken place when it was an iser kares. But it was an iser lav, if it was an iser lav, so then they should be considered married. So how's he going to explain it? Ravina Savra Krav Yochanan Mataris La Aliba Drabanan. Here we go. Hacholeitz Liyavimto. Someone who does chalitza for his surviving wife of his brother. Vichazar Vikidcha. And now he improperly marries her. So he's over a lav. Tzricha Chalitza Min Ha'achin. And now he dies, right? So Tzricha Chalitza Min Ha'achin. She requires chalitza from the other brothers. Man Achin, Achin Hanolden, Kaman, Kerab Yochanan. So that's consistent. That makes perfect sense, right? We said that all that happens is their collective status is downgraded to a lav. And so therefore, when this brother who improperly married her after doing chalitza, when he dies, so they're now in the status of a lav to her, Kevan Shalabana Shuv Lo Yivne, and therefore they have to do chalitza. However, the seifa is going to present a problem. Amar Echa min hayilodim v'kidsha ein lo alav klum, where one of the surviving brothers now gets up and marries her, ein lo alav klum, it's going to be considered as if that marriage never took place. We seem to be saying that it's like an iser kares. That's against what Rav Yochanan said. So how do we explain that? And the answer is kaman karabanan. No, we're talking about a eshes achiv shalahaya bolamo. We're talking about a brother who wasn't born at the time when the zika took place. He wasn't born at the time of the original death of the original brother. And so therefore he's an entirely different boat than the other brothers. He's mamish and erva. And that's what it's referring to when it says, not any of the brothers, but this specific brother, who was an Eshes Achav Shalayo Balama, who was born later. Fine. So, in other words, what we're up to now is each Shita, whether it be Rav Ashi, as he holds like Rav Reish Lakish, Ravina, as he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, has a viable answer to the challenge posed by that split brisa, where the Reisha of the brisa seemed to challenge one side and the Seifa of the brisa seemed to challenge the other side. Each of them is able to fit it into a specific ukimta, to a specific set of circumstances, so that it's consistent. And we're left standing with this machlokes amoraim, which seems like a pretty important machlokes. It seems like a pretty fundamental machlokes as to what's the status of all these other brothers after one brother steps up to the plate and does chalitza. Okay. And now the Gemara, just for the next three lines, is going to introduce what seems to be almost identical machlokes, or almost identical circumstance. It's going to fit it right into the machlokes, the paradigm we established for this first issue, with just a slightly different turn of circumstances. Itmar, the Gemara says, Haba al Yavama. Let's say instead of doing chalitza with one of the surviving wives, instead of one of the brothers doing chalitza with one of the surviving wives, he decides to do yibum. He takes her as his wife. He fulfills the zika. He does yibum. So we would think ordinarily there, game over. Once one of the brothers stands up to the plate, does yibum, now the whole story is over. Everyone moves on with their lives. But in this circumstance, one of the other brothers wasn't satisfied. Uba echad min ha'achin al tzarasa. And one of the other brothers, he attempts to do a yibum with a different one of the tzaras. That's not the way it's supposed to work. The way it's supposed to work is once the brother dies, so then it's up to the surviving brothers collectively to fulfill yibum or chalitza and to do yibum with one of the surviving wives. But here what happened is one brother did yibum with a surviving wife, and then another brother did yibum with a second surviving wife. That's no good. So what prohibition has he violated? So one possibility is that the status of all the other brothers after one of them has done yibum reverts to their original status, which is that each of them are prohibited to the surviving wife as if she was an Eishes Ach, just like they were always Arayos during the life of the brother. So that Arayos status was only suspended in order to allow the performance of Yibum or Chalitza. But once Yibum is performed, they revert back to the original Kare status. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that all the brothers are in the same boat together. And therefore, once one performs Yibum or Chalitza, they're all characterized now by this idea of Kevan lo shelobana shuv lo yivna. It's just a lav. It's just a simple Torah prohibition, but it's not an Isser Kares. And so that's the question here. Again, Itmar haba al Yavama. One of the brothers now has relations with Yavama. Uba echad min ha'achin al tzarasa. And now one of the other brothers has yibum, or purports to do yibum, has relations with the tzara, with another one of the wives. Pligi barav achav ravina, tzmachokas, chad amr bekares. One says that this second brother has violated an isser kares. Vichad amr ba'asei. And the other one says, no, he's downgraded along with the other brothers, and all he's done is performed an isser asei. This Isser Aseh is slightly different than the one we quoted before. We quoted before Kevin Shulabana Shuvo Yivne. Rashi points out this Isser Aseh is Bayis Echad Hu Bona Vein Bona Shnei Batim, meaning you only get one chance of Yibum or Chalitza. It's not like everyone kind of just marries each other. It's a one and up, one and out. And now the Gemara is going to relate this Machlokas back to our original Machlokas in the slightly different circumstance where instead of performing Yibum, one of the brothers performed chalitza. Man diomer bekares, the one who holds kares, in other words, Ravacha, he is holding like Reish Lakish, that the status of the other brothers reverts to kares. Man diomer basay, and I guess Ravino, who holds that it's in Isser Asay, he's like holding like Rav Yochanan, that all the brothers are in it together, and just like the one who performed Yibum gets downgraded to just Kevansha so all the other brothers get relegated into but it's no longer an Isser Karis. Okay, that's the end of that that little sugya. And now the Gemara is going to introduce a new question. So the whole parak we've been talking about, based on our, originally from our first Mishnah, that there are certain people who you don't perform Yibum with, right? And specifically, if there's an erva attached, if you have a prohibition of marrying a certain woman, and that certain woman happens to be your surviving sister-in-law, right? Your brother died, you left a surviving wife without any children, so you would ordinarily have to perform Yibum. But our first Mishnah taught us that if that relationship is otherwise an Isser Erva, so then the whole enterprise gets canceled out. No Chalitza, no Yibum. And now the Gemara is going to see, do we expand that to an additional case? What about Amar Rav Yehuda? Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Saras Sota Asura. The Sara of a Sota. So let's say you have a situation where a man is married to a woman. He's got brothers. They have no children. And they don't have the best marriage. And in fact, she's unfaithful to him. Or at least he thinks she's unfaithful to him. He accuses her of being unfaithful to him. And she's in this status of being considered a Sota. Maybe we've even proven that she's been unfaithful to him. And now he dies. So the question is, normally, one of the surviving brothers should marry this woman, right? But Rav Yehuda is quoting Rav as saying here that in this situation where the surviving wife had been unfaithful during the lifetime of the brother, no mitzvah of Yibum applies because Tumak Sivba Karayas, right? Amar Rav Yehuda Rav, Tsara Sota Asura, she does not perform Yibum or Chalitza. Why? Tuma, or the Bach adds my time. Why is this? Tuma Ksivba Karayas. Because when the Pasuk is describing the status of a Sota, of a woman who's unfaithful, it refers to it as Tuma, as impurity. And the word impurity also applies to Arayos. And so there's a Xereshava, there's a commonality of terminology here. And so too, just like Arayos exempt someone from the mitzvah of Yibum, if a person is an Arayos, he's an improper family relationship to a woman, that cancels out Yibum HaChalitza, as we've been talking about for the past 10 blot. So too it's true by a woman who is unfaithful, because the same terminology applies. Just like Arayos is impure, so too is a Sota impure, and therefore a Sota whose husband dies doesn't have Yibum performed to her. Fine. Masiv Rav Chista. So Rav Chista is going to bring a question from a Braisa. Rav Shimon Omer, Biasa Ochalitza Sa Me'achiv Sharisham Poteres Tzarasa. So this is talking about a situation, a Gemara that we're going to quote later on Daf Pei Zayin, it looks like, about kind of a classical situation of a woman whose husband goes on a business trip and he doesn't return. He's missing. He's missing at sea. He's missing abroad. No one knows what happened to him. He's completely AWOL. And we don't know what's going on. We don't know his status. So she's stuck. She's a classical aguna. She can't remarry because she doesn't have a get from her first husband. She's not allowed to be married to more than one husband at a time. And what do we do? Now an aid echad comes, one aid comes and says, by the way, I saw your husband and I saw that he was murdered in a convenience store robbery or whatever it was. I saw that he's no longer alive. And on the basis of that testimony, she marries. Now, she's allowed to remarry. We accept the edus of one person to determine the status of this first husband, she's allowed to remarry. But Chazal wanted to be very clear, or wanted to be very sure, that this guy's really dead. Because if the guy's not really dead, we have a disaster on our hands. She's now married to another man when she was married to one man. That's Eishes Ish. That's very, very bad. And so Chazal wanted to make sure that the woman herself would be extra, extra sure that the first husband died, and only where she herself really, 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 truly believes the first witness, and he seems credible, only then would she go out on a limb and marry a second husband. And in order to ensure that this concept of Isha Daika, this idea that a woman should be extra careful before remarrying a second husband on the basis of questionable eidos that the first husband died, in order to really incentivize her to be extra sure, they made a rule that if the first husband were ever to return, so then she'd be asura lazev ve asura lazev. In a tragic situation where she's happily married to one man, he goes missing, she believes that he's dead, there's good reason to believe he's dead, Bez Din even allows her to remarry, she marries a second husband, and then the first husband returns. So in that horrible, horrible situation, we say that she has to leave both of them. She can't remain married to either of them. And again, the purpose of that is in order kihechi de tedok shapir shemes bailad shulotina, say, in order to give the woman the absolutely greatest incentive to be absolutely sure that the first husband's dead before she goes ahead and remarries. So now, Rav Shimon here is describing that situation, right? And Rav Shimon holds. So Chachamim hold in that situation. The Chachamim hold that if the husband comes back, the first husband comes back, right? And then. So let's say now the brother dies, right? The brother dies. I'm sorry. Mesu echav shozev echav shozev cholzin v'lmiyam. So now let's say he dies. Let's say one of them dies. Both of them die. So we have chalitza, says the Chacham. The Chacham say you do chalitza in such an instance. And Rav Shimon says. And Rav Shimon says you don't do chalitza, right? Yaso chalitza sam yachav shurishon pateres tsarasa. I'm sorry. He says you do chalitza. I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. Rav Shimon biyaso chalitza yachav shurishon pateres chilchatzchila tsarasa shrehi kashar nashim gavi yavim to consider yavim deva. Good. So Rav Shimon says that even though it's true that we have this gezeira drabanan that she has to leave both husbands in a situation where one of them dies, right? So she could do Yibum or Chalitza with one of the other brothers. So this presents a problem because Rav just said that the Tzara of a Sota, someone who is unfaithful, right, is Asura. Right? Where the husband dies after accusing his wife and after having proven that his wife was unfaithful. So that cancels out any possibility of Yibum. And here we have Shitas Rav Shimon who's saying that in a somewhat similar situation where the husband went abroad, we thought he was dead, and now the woman, the surviving wife, has relations with another man because she thought he was dead and she married another man. So you still do Yibum or Chalitza. So the Gemara says, how could that be? Rav said that in a situation where a woman had relations with another man during the pendency of their marriage, that cancels out any Yibum or Chalitza because Tuma Ksivba, it says the word Tuma with respect to her. And here we have a similar situation where essentially the woman is a Sota, right? Because her husband went away, she had relations with another man, but then the husband returns, it turns out that he wasn't really dead. So she acted improperly and unfaithfully with the second one, with the second man. And yet we say that she does do Yibum or Chalitza. So Amar Rav, Rav answers by saying, Aminu ocha ana soto deraisa ve'ata amrisli soto drabanan. He says the two cases aren't the same. In the first situation, the one I was talking about that said chalitza and yibah get canceled out, that's a bona fide situation of a woman who's unfaithful. She's a sota. She did something absolutely improper, and she's a sota, and therefore tumuk sivva. She's called tameh, according to the pasuk, and she's in the same category as an arayos, and yibam and chalitza get canceled out. But this situation is not that case at all. This situation is where a woman thought that her husband had died, and she properly remarried. And it's just the Gezeirah Drabanan that makes her leave both husbands because of a concern that we want to make sure she's absolutely, absolutely convinced that the first husband died. But that's only on a Drabanan level. And so you can't, it's apples and oranges, he says. You can't compare to me the status of a Sota Daraisa, where the woman had been unfaithful, and Tumak Sivba, and the Pasuk refers to her as Tameh, as someone who's impure. That's the situation where Chalitza and Yibam get canceled out, as opposed to here, where it's only on a rabbinic level that we're going to make her leave her two husbands, and she didn't do anything wrong. We're not going to call her a Tameh, and that's why here, according to Rav Shimon at least, we're going to have her perform Bia or Yibam or Chalitza. The Gemara then says, Utkari la mai kari la. What was the Havamin at least? It seems like that's an obvious answer. One's a complete mistake, and the other one is Tumak Sivba, the other one is Mamish Sota. The answer is Kasavar Kal Tikkun Rabban Kein Daraisa Tikkun. We have a cloud, generally speaking, that whenever the rabbis enact a rabbinic decree, they model it in all respects on the biblical decree. And so if the rabbis here were taking the stance that she's considered like a Sota, that even though she had acted innocently and remarried the second husband on the basis of what appeared to be good bona fide evidence that the first husband was dead, the rabbis are saying, Teitzei Mizeh Mizeh, we kind of treat it like a Sota case, in order to, as we said, in order to incentivize her to be absolutely sure that the first husband was dead. But once the rabbis are going to make a gezeira like that, once they're going to make a rule like that, they're going to model it after the Daraisa rule. And if so, they would have modeled it completely after the Daraisa rule and obliterated Yibum or Chalitza in such an instance. That was the Havamina. That was what Rav originally thought when he asked this question. And comes along the Gemara and says, no, they didn't go so far in enacting their rule. They just said that she has to leave both husbands, but they didn't say that she gets canceled out of Yibum. Of Chalitza. Okay, so now we're going to try a second attempt at attacking Rav's statement that the tzara of a sota is asura. Again, Rav's statement was that where you have a woman who's unfaithful to her husband, the husband then dies without children, the surviving brothers are not going to marry that sota. And now comes along Ravashi, Masiv Ravashi. Nichnasa imo aseser, vishasa imo kede tuma. Classical case of sota. The man suspects his wife of being unfaithful. He warns her not to isolate herself in the same room with this man. She ignores his warnings, and there's a presumption that she has been unfaithful now with this man. So nichnasa imo aseser, she went into a room with this suspected adulterer. Vishasa imo kedei tuma, she stays long enough that it's possible that they were intimate together. So asura lebesa, she can't go back to the original husband. Vyasura lecho betruma, and she can't eat truma if her original husband was a kohen. Vimes, and if he dies, chaletzes velo misyabemes. She does chalitza. That sounds exactly against what Rav just said. Rav said that in the situation of a sota, if the husband dies, she is no longer, or she is not eligible for a chalitza or yibum. The whole thing falls away. It's just like an arayos, right? And so here we have what appears to be a braisa that directly contradicts Rav. What's Rav going to do about this? So Rav answers similarly here. Amar lecha Rav, amino lecha na sota vadai v'amrisli at sofa sota safek. I was talking about a situation where we knew for sure she was a sota. This woman is just a sota safek. We don't know specifically that she was unfaithful. We just had this suspicion as a result of her going into a room with the man. And so therefore, it's only in my situation where we know specifically that she was unfaithful, that Yibum and Chalitza fall away. But where there's just a suspicion that she's a sota, Chalitza and Yibum remain intact. The Gemara then challenges that and says, "Umayishna sota vadai, mishum dichsiv batuma." We said the whole reason why a sota is removed from the parsha of Yibum and Chalitza, why she's not eligible for Yibum and Chalitza, is because the word tuma appeared there, and tuma reminds us of the tuma that we said by Arayos, and just like Arayos doesn't get Yibum and Chalitza, so too a sota shouldn't get tuma and Yibum and Chalitza. Sota safek nami tuma ksivba. By a questionable case of sota, it also says the word tuma. So shouldn't that therefore have the same rule as a definitive case of a sota? And therefore, shouldn't that case as well have no yibum or chalitza attached to it? Where do we see that? The Tanya, we have a braisa. Rabbi Yosi ben Kifar Omer Mishum Rav Elazar. He quotes Rav Elazar, "Hamachzir grushaso mina nisuin asura mina erusin muter." So we have a rule that if a person gets divorced, it's a mitzvah to remarry your divorcee. Right? That's a great thing. People get divorced, and then they realize that maybe things were better the way they were, and they remarry. That's a mitzvah, machzir grushaso. But you're not allowed to marry your divorcee if she's married someone else in the interim. Right? According to Rav Yossi ben Kiefer, that's only true if she actually marries someone in the interim, but not if she just becomes betrothed to someone in the interim. That's Rav Lazar. Ramachzer grushasa mina nisuin asura mina erusin muteris. If she's undergone nisuin in the interim, she's asura, she can't remarry. However, if she's undergone erusin in the interim, she's been betrothed in the interim, she is muteris. She can remarry. Why? Mishum shenemar acharei asher hutama. Only after she's been defiled, only after she has underwent tuma, that's when she becomes asura to remarry. That's shita's Rav Elazar. V'chachamim omrim achazu v'achazu asura. Both situations, whether she's become remarried or whether she's become betrothed, in both situations, she can't remarry her original husband. What are the Chachamim going to do about the word hutama? Elamani makayim acharei hutama. Grabo sota shenistera. Acharei asher tuma is coming to include a rule that's completely irrelevant or completely completely separate from the halachos that are being learned in this parsha based on Pasha Pshat. It's talking about a situation where a sota, a woman who's suspected of adultery, is secluded with someone who she's suspected of being doing sota with, and therefore she cannot remarry her husband. She cannot go back to her husband. So, in other words, what we're saying here is, again, why are we bringing this? Rav said, my only prohibition against remarrying this sota applies to a sota vadai, but a sota safek is in a different parsha, and we're bringing as proof to that the Shitas Chachamim here, that it's only a sota there where we use the word tuma. Gemara answers. Gemara asks, "So my nistera nivola." That vav is a little confusing because really the Gemara is now answering, "My nistera nivola." The Gemara is defending this position that when we talk about nistera, where we talk about a sota, it's referring to a sota vadai. Vamai kariga nistera wishnema al yanakat. It's not just referring to a suffix sota. Right, I said that wrong before. The Chachamim are saying that it's only a suffix. The original Havmin of the Gemara here was that the Chachamim are only talking about a suffix sota, and that's backing up Shita's Rav. The Gemara asks and says, "No, my nistra nivlav, my karlo nistra lishna ma'al yanakat." It's just using a nicer language, but it's referring to someone who was just isolated. So the Gemara says now, Nivla Tuma Behedrik Sivba, Vinistra Vinitma. The Gemara says, why would you need a pasuk to tell you that? If we're talking about a sota vade, Nivla Tuma Behedrik Sivba, Vinistra Vinitma. Vinistra Vinitma, that it's talking about someone that has actually become Tame. Gemara answers, Lameka Mala Bilav. The Gemara answers that that's talking about to say that if the woman definitively had relations, so then she gets Malkus. Rav Yossi ben Kiefer, how's he going to explain that? La besota leslei, he says that there's no extra Malkus by a sota. Rav Yossi says that even if it's just an improper relation, that also is going to cause you not to be able to remarry her after you've divorced her. Fine, but the bottom line is we've solved Rav's problem by saying that it's only a tumas vaday that's the issue with canceling out yibam and chalitza, but not a tumas suffik. Good. Now the Gemara is going to be left with one last question on the Samud as we are starting to run out of time. Ba mine Rav Yehuda Mirav Sheshes. Bar Minei Rav Yehuda Mirav Sheshes. Rav Yehuda asked Rav Sheshes the following question. Hamachzir grushaso mishe nisei. So let's say a person does go ahead and remarries his ex-wife even after she has undergone nisuin. So got couples married, they get divorced, she marries another man, fully marries him, nisuin, and now gets divorced, and the first husband marries her. That is improper. He's been over a lav, right? Umes. And now he dies, and they have no children. Sarasa mahu. So the assumption in the Gemara here is that she herself is not eligible for Yibam. She herself is not eligible for Yibam because she should not have ever married that original brother. But what about her tsara? Does the fact that her marriage to the Machzir Grushaso constitute a lav, does that taint all her tsaros from also undergoing Yibam? So I'll leave it to Rav Yossi ben Kiefer, Loti Bayilcha, Kevan Dumb Rav Yossi ben Kiefer, Tumma b'Machzir Grushaso, Dechziva, Tsarasa Kamosa. So Rav Yossi ben Kiefer, as we just saw in the Sugya just above, he applies the word Tumma to this case of Machzir Grushaso, and so therefore it's going to be very similar to our whole analysis of Arayos, where we said Tumma is the word that's used there, and so just like the woman who's the Machzir Grushaso, who is over a lav, is not eligible for Yibum or Chalitza, so too her co-wives, her tsaros, are not eligible for Yibum or Chalitza. V'mishum d'chsiv ba to'eva hi, he toeva vein banea toevin haratsara sara toeva. And you might have thought that there's an extra pasuk in there, or extra words in the pasuk that says toeva he, that she is defiled, that she is considered an abomination. And you might have made a drasha that only she is considered an abomination, but her tsaros, her co-wives, are not, and therefore they are still eligible for yibum or chalitza. Don't go with that approach. Rather, hitoeva vein banea toevin. All this means is that her children are not tainted, her children are not mamzerim. Hatsarasa Toeva, but her sorrows are Toeva. So the Gemara seems certain here that according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kiefer, who says that a Machzer Grushasa min HaNisuin, that woman has the status of Tumah, so if the man then dies and is left without any children, she wouldn't do Yibum, and her tsaros, her co-wives, also wouldn't do Yibum, because the word Tumah appears in this context. Kiti Boilcha, but this question is still alive, Aliva Drabanan, right? Because the Rabbanan didn't attach the word Tumah, as we just saw in the limit above. Afagav Dam Rabbanan Tumah Besota Hu Dichsiv. Rabbanan used the word Tumah with respect to the Sota. That was the whole point of the previous Sugya. But they didn't use the word Tumah to describe this Machzer Grushaso. Nevertheless, and so if that's true, that the Rabbanan didn't use the word Tumah to describe the Machzer Grushaso, if that's true, then maybe she is still in the Parsha of Yibum and Chalitza. Or alternatively, Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto, maybe even though the Pasuk, even though the Rabbanan darshaned those Psukim to say that the word Tumah is not applying, or is not applying to the Machzir Grushaso, it's applying to the Sota, but still the very basic Pashut Pshat of those Psukim is that it applies to Machzir Grushaso, and so therefore maybe she is in fact taken out of the Parsha of Yibum Mar Chalitza. O Dilma Kevan Di Aker Aker, or maybe no, their drusha follows, and since their drusha said that the word Tumah there is not referring to a Machzir Grushaso, but rather was referring to a Sota, so in fact the Machzir Grushaso and her Tzara should undergo Yibum Mar Chalitza. That's one approach. Ika Damri is another way of reading this, just flipped around. Aliv Rabbanan Loti Bayulcha. According to the Rabbanan, there's not even a question here. Kevin Disakir Yakir. Right? The Rabbanan said that the word Tumah there is not referring to the Machzer Grushaso, it's referring to the Sota Shenistera. And therefore, no one would think that the Machzer Grushaso should be Mufka from the Parsha of Yibum and Chalitza, and in fact the tsaros of the Machzer Grushaso should undergo Yibum and Chalitza. Kiti Ba'ilacha Aliyah de Rabbi Yossi ben Kiefer. The question only is according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kiefer. My, Afagav de Rabbi Yossi ben Kiefer Tumah Machzer Grushaso Dichsiva. Even though Rabbi Yossi ben Kiefer said that Tumah in fact applies to the Machzer Grushaso there, which would lead us to the conclusion that a Machzer Grushaso doesn't get Yibum and Chalitza, still, Mi'rachmana, he toiva, vein sarasa toiva. Maybe only the Machzer Grushaso herself is considered a toiva and is therefore pulled out of the parsha of Yibum and Chalitza, but the tsaros, her co-wives, still should be eligible for Yibum and Chalitza. O Dilma, he toiva, vein banea toivin, or maybe he toiva is a miyot to teach you that only she, only the Machzer Grushaso herself, is a toiva, but not her kids. Hatsarasa toiva, but her tsara, her co-wife, still is considered a toiva. Okay. Amrei Tanisua. So we're going to try to figure out the answer to this question. Again, the question being a Machzer Grushaso who improperly remarried after she had undergone Nisuin. Now the husband dies without children. Do the surviving brothers marry the tsaros of the Machzer Grushaso, the co-wives? So, Haisa Achas Ksherev, Achas Psua. So we have this cryptic brisa now. Haisa Achas Ksherev, Achas Psua. One of them was Kshera. We're talking about, again, the classical case of Yibum, two surviving wives. Achas Ksherev, Achas Psua. One of them is kosher, one of them is pasul. If you're going to choose now to do chalitza to one, do chalitza to the one that's psua. If you're going to choose to do yibum to one, do yibum to one that's kosher. My ksher, my psua. What are we talking about here? Maybe we're talking about a kohen status, right? And ksher means that she can marry even a kohen. And a psua, psua li alma. And a psula means a psula to any kohen. Kevan du didei chazia may nafka lamina. We're not talking about a kohen here. We're talking about just the regular Yisrael. So who cares whether the one wife has a status of a psula kohen and another one has a kshera kohen? What's the difference? Elav kshera kshera lei, psula psula lei, is referring to the status vis-a-vis him, this brother that is considering doing Yibum or Chalitza, Umaynihu, and what could this possibly be talking about? Machzir Grushaso. It's talking about a situation where the woman is a Machzir Grushaso. Fekatani im hayam miyabe miyame mukshera. And here we seem to say that you do Yibum for the Machzir Grushaso. The answer is lo, yolam kshera kshera liyama. We're talking about, in fact, their status vis-a-vis a Kohen. Psua psua yama. And the psua is referring to someone who can't marry a Kohen. Let's say she's a Gioris or a divorcee. Udikamris, and what about the question Kevin the Udidei Chazia May Nafka Le Mina? Your question of what is the relevance? Who cares whether she's Kshera or Psua to a Kohen? The answer is Mishum de Rav Yossi, a very interesting halacha of Rav Yossi, Dam Rav Yosef, Kan Shina Rebbe, Go Yishpoch Adam Meboro, Vacherim Srichim Lahem. If you have a situation where you could taint another woman, so to speak. One woman is already psua l'kohen. Let's say one of this woman's is a gioras, right? And now you're going to perform chalitza. Once you perform chalitza on her, she's asura l'kohen midrabanan. And so the Gemara is telling you, if you have to choose one of the women's to do, one of the women to do chalitza to, choose the woman who's already psua l'kohen, because why make additional women psua l'kohen? You got to watch out for your friends who are kohanim. You want to maintain as many eligible singles for Kohanim to remarry. And so if it's just as easy for you to do the chalitza to the one who's already a psula kohen, you might as well do the chalitza to that one and not taint another one as psula kohen. Let's just finish up. Tashma maksu grushasa mishanisei hivitzara sacholetzes hivitzara sasal kadaitach elaima uhi otzara sa. The Gemara brings a price. A machzor grusha from Mishnah Nisayis, right? You are machzor grusha where she's already married in the interim. He v'tzara sachaletzes. So she and her tzara do chalitza. She and her tzara do chalitza. So the Gemara says that doesn't make any sense. He v'tzara sa. One of them is going to do chalitza. One of them is going to do chalitza. You don't do chalitza to more than one. The Gemara answer is ela ima ohi otzara sa. Rather, one of them does chalitza. V'lav tiusik mitarzolei. Did that really answer the question? You still have that vav. The language doesn't make sense. So our answer is tarzachi. No, it will slightly refine the answer. He chalatzes. She should do chalitza. Tzarasa o chalatzes o misyabemes. She does chalitza or yibum. Om Rav Chia bar Abba bar Rav Yochanan boy. Hamachzi grushasha mishna niseis tzarasa mahu. Similar, exact same question, not similar, but exact same question we were asking above. Someone who's machzir grushaso, misha niseis. Improperly, he marries his ex-wife after she's already undergone nisuin. So, tsarasa mahu. The tsara, what's the status of the tsara? Amar lei, right? The question we've been asking this whole time. Amar lei, ami v'tibay l'cha hi gufa. What about her? What, forget about the tzara. What about she herself? Gemara says he gufu lo mikol miwa. Darmina kavachom or muter la asura ba'asura lo kol shekein. So we said she herself is for sure outside of the parsha of Yibum, because the one who was arguably allowed to marry her, her husband herself, was asur to marry her because she was a machzir grushaso mishanises. So kol shekein, the asur la, the kol shekein, the brother who was an arayas originally, he should not be able to marry her. Kikami bayuat sweet sara sa mai. Miom kavachomer umit chay tzara lo. Does that same kavachomer work to get rid of the tzara or not? Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masni Hacha, Rav Chia Bar Abba Bar Rav Yochanan Machzor Grushas Mishnisnisas Ma'u. Same exact question we've been asking. Amrei Rav Yamia Riami v'tibay locha tzara sa v'tibay locha tzara sa. Why don't we ask about the tzara? The answer is Sarasoko kami bayulei. This is just a flip of the way we just read it. Sarasoko kami bayulei delo alim kal v'chomer l'midchi tzara. Elki kami bayulei hi gufa mai mi olim kal v'chomer magam tzva. Alo, the question is: does this kal v'chomer that we just said does that apply b'makom mitzvah where there is a reason to say that they should marry based on the mitzvah of Yibum, or does the Kal V'chomer apply and to say that just like the husband himself was precluded from marrying her because she was his machzer grushas achar nisuin, so all the more so the brother of the husband who was even an erva earlier should also be precluded, should all the more so be precluded from marrying her. Okay, shkayach.